Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Back with the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Thursday, but not only is it a Thursday, it's also New Year's Eve. Luke, have you had a great 2020, mate?
No, it's been fucking shit.
I've had a good one. I've got some of my ducks in order. Other ducks have managed to break into the adjoining farmer's field, and I'll never reclaim them, to be quite frank.
So yeah,
that's a little bit upsetting, but no, I'm relatively happy with how it's gone.
In all seriousness, clearly lots of people have had it much worse than me, so I'm not complaining. We've done some great stuff. We've had some great achievements this year. We've actually got, I think, a few things going out on the Stakhanov social media channels, which is at Stakhanov, S-T-A-K-H-A-N-O-V, of all the stuff that we've done this year to give people a little reminder and to have a little look back and have a bit of fun. So check that out. So we have been able to do some great stuff. Like, for example, Peter, hire and give a job to the tremendously talented young Natalie, who's on the call with us at the moment, producing this show. So we've done some good stuff. We've surrounded ourselves with some more talented, energetic people, which I think is absolutely key when you get to our age. But generally speaking, it's been a year to forget, but we won't be able to forget it, will we? Because it's going to live long in the memory for all the wrong reasons.
I mean, my sort of big plan for this year has to be lose a bit of weight, work on things I can achieve, just be better in general. Because I think this year was a bit of a free hit for a lot of people. I don't think anybody achieved everything that they were going to do.
Yeah.
Luke, what I didn't tell you on Monday is my Christmas present from my significant other. So about a week ago, we were seeing friends, and I exclaimed, as a Nihonophile, as a person who loves a bit of Japan, I've got several kind of like odds and sods, like Japanese stuff. So a couple of things I've inherited from my Auntie Joan, weirdly, who used to clean for a woman who was married to an admiral who went to the Far East quite a lot. So I've got a few things in my house that are like Japanesey, right?
Yeah.
And I said, pretty jokingly, I said, I'd hate to be one of those people who love Japan and who own a sword. Now, she'd obviously bought me a sword for Christmas. So, to be fair, it's not turned up, bless her. So she was a bit upset about that. And so I am going to be a man who owns a sword soon. So I am having to roll back from me not wanting to own a sword. I'll happily own a sword. I just don't want to buy one myself. I don't want loads of them.
You can have lessons. Like, are you going to be like the guy?
Dads with swords.
Yeah. Well, dads with swords. And also the guy in that famous scene in... is it Temple of Doom?
Right, okay, and he gets shot.
Yeah. And that's Middle East, not Japan, but anyway.
I'll probably like get some bamboo canes and just like slice them up in the garden sort of thing, dressed in like completely topless in my pajama bottoms. I think
Are you going to do what you used to do with the violin and just pretend to use it?
Pretend to use it, yeah. I'm going to walk down the high street looking for lads getting sexy on the bridge.
A little dicky bird tells me, one of my little birds tells me that you bought your significant other quite the present as well. And I've seen a picture of it. Why don't you tell the listeners what it was?
Oh, yeah. A big ceramic ear. Yeah.
I mean,
I like it. I like it, though.
It's just a normal family at Christmas, isn't it?
Well, I'd only, like, before we were significant others, I bought her a nose, a big ceramic nose, which she's made it very clear it should not be on the wall. I've put it on the wall. It was a big ceramic nose that I was in. God, what's that? Why do I have a real mental block with the word Selfridges? I've no idea why. I can see the yellow carrier bag in my mind, and I've got to kind of work backwards from that and say Selfridges. I was in the basement of Selfridges, where all the tat is, the electronics and toys and games and nonsense, and I saw Helena Bonham Carter pick up this ceramic nose, and she looked at it, sort of like, you know, thinged up my nose a little bit, sort of scrunched up my nose a bit, and then put it back. And I thought, look, if it's too weird for a professional spooky person,
yeah,
who basically her whole brand is being a bit kooky and spooky, I thought I've got to pick that up. So a nose was bought, and this year she's received a beautiful ceramic, nicely done, nicely put together ceramic ear. That's about
I've seen
the size.
It's not that nice. It looks like it's made of plaster of Paris.
It's made of ceramics. Thank you very much.
And where are you going to put that on the wall as well?
Near the nose. I think that'll be a nice thing, a nice little motif for the back.
So I can see why, for example, if you've got a little studio at your house in the spare room, you work in audio, so you could put a mouth there, you could put an ear there, and quite a cool little bit of symbolism for your studio. I don't know what the relevance is. I know that your significant other is a broadcaster as well, so maybe it's relevant for that reason, but I don't know where the nose has come from.
Well, you put it in the bathroom and it looks like, oh, it reminds people to spray a bit of air freshener.
Oh, yeah,
it?
Good idea. Or you could push it and maybe some snot could come out, but really it's hand gel.
Yes, lovely. Install a little kind of alcohol gel dispenser inside one of the nostrils. One for soap, the other one for skin lotion.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I don't understand the skin lotion thing. Listen, you've hit on something here. And again, I don't want to get all Larry David about it, but there's a bit of Larry David in all of us. I've got a real problem with the hand lotion in posh bathrooms.
Yeah, I've got no use to. I've got no use for it, really.
No.
If I get it wrong, I'm washing my hands with hand lotion. It's a nightmare. I was doing a COVID test in Watford a couple of weeks ago, and it was the first time I'd had one of those COVID tests. Bloody hell. It tickles, doesn't it? I nearly vomed in this woman's face as she was jamming it down my neck.
Oh.
She
shouldn't be jamming it down your neck, by the way.
Well, one in the mouth, one in the nose, and no harm done. But it was just really kind of like, and then I went and nearly snotted. As you were walking in, there was a hand gel dispenser at the front door, and it wasn't even a hand gel dispenser. They'd filled it with soap. So you pump a lot of soap. And so for the rest of the thing, my hands are covered in bloody soap. Awful business.
Yeah. And I think with the hand cream thing, so the only purpose it serves is to get you confused between hand gel for cleaning and hand lotion for moisturising, right? Because the very idea... Now, I know it takes all sorts and everyone's different and I don't want to be stereotypical of male behaviour and all that kind of stuff because it can be, you know, it can be very destructive. I totally get that, right? And if you want to talk about the patriarchy, let's talk about it. But I'm telling you now, my experience as an adult male human being tells me that I have never once met a man who spends so long in the male bathroom of a posh hotel or restaurant that he washes his hands thoroughly, dries them completely, and then goes back and puts the hand lotion on. It just doesn't happen. You have to go hand soap, walk to the end of the bathroom, dry your hands, then walk back again to get some more lotion, which is situated next to where the fucking soap was. It doesn't make any sense. No one's ever used it. The only thing it does is it confuses you when you've had a few beers, and one in every 10 times you'll use the hand lotion to try and wash your hands and have to do it again.
Well, maybe it's because black guys use like cocoa butter on their hands, don't they? So maybe it's that. Maybe it's
no, but I use moisturizer on my hands. That's not the point. Yeah. I'm talking about the circumstances.
Right.
I'm not talking about the actual. I'm not saying, oh, bloody hell, men shouldn't use hand lotion. I use hand lotion, particularly in the winter, because I get like extra on the side of my hands. I'm not using it in a male bathroom because, one, you can't get your hands dry anyway because you either have to use the hand dryer, which takes fucking ages, so you end up wiping your hands in your trousers. Two, you've got to make a journey back to get the hand lotion. And three, it might smell completely differently to how you want to smell. I just think what they've done is they've said female bathrooms, as far as I'm aware, are notoriously amazing, aren't they? So when a man suddenly, for whatever reason, and he shouldn't be doing it anyway, of course, but if a man goes into a female bathroom, say he's a plumber and he's got to fix a toilet or something, it'll be fucking hell, women's bathrooms are amazing, right? Men's bathrooms are not amazing. It's not a fucking, that's not news, right? So men are conditioned to spend as little time in there as possible. Right, so when you go to a posh bathroom, you're not going to be doing all that other stuff. You might as well have a fucking barber in there. You're not going to go in there for a shave because you're not going to spend any time in there. It doesn't make any sense.
Would it be fair to say that male bathroom should just be like a fire pit?
Yeah, it should be functional.
Just a big hall where we all sit around, shitting into, pissing into, and it's just on fire. It's like that. It's in Kazakhstan, that big ring of fire thing.
Yeah,
just one of those. Small in the middle of a room, the rooms could be so much smaller, and people could just shit, piss, do whatever into this burning hall, and just be done with it. Really,
all I'm saying is, if you care that much about what men do in a bathroom, a public bathroom, whatever it is, a hotel bathroom, do some research. Ask how many men, when they're out and about, moisturize their hands. It's not many of them. Then ask them how many of them, for example, read the newspaper when they're taking a shit. Probably 80% of them. Put a newspaper in there. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to be stereotypical, but I'm just saying that there is a time to use hand lotion. I use it. That is not the time. I don't even know how we got onto this, by the way. I want to change subjects completely, Peter, because I want to talk about... have you heard of a guy, and this is going to be mental to some of our American listeners... have you heard of a guy called Allen Iverson?
No, I have not.
So he is a legendary basketball player in the NBA, right? Or he was. Mm. He's not now. He's retired. His nickname was The Answer, which is for my money, one of the best nicknames in sport, right? Up there with the tennis player Vince Ain't Afraid of Your Spadia.
Yeah.
Anyway, Allen Iverson. This is an amazing. Paragraph of a news story with a quote from Alan, which I want to read to you now because I think you'll like it. It goes as follows. Alan Iverson denies a claim made by a former teammate that he occasionally spent $40,000 at a strip club when he was playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. And this is the Alan Iverson quote. First of all, it was like $9,000 at most, and there were never any strippers at TGI Fridays on City Line unless I brought them along. And sometimes I brought a bunch along, yeah. And I suppose in those cases, the bill could have got up to $40,000 because I didn't have the endless appetizers offered back then.
I just like the fact that the answer is kind of like he's very much looking after the pennies there. Post-retirement, he's sort of obviously going, look, back then you didn't have the endless appetizers.
It's an answer from the answer, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think he just wanted to have a say. He's not even explained it. He just wanted to have a say.
Oh, just weird and upset.
And can I also bring something else to the table about as it references to public bathrooms? Well, kind of public, but bathrooms generally. This is probably, and I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it under advice here, this is one of the best 2020 stories. It doesn't quite sum up 2020 because it's slightly different, but it's a good story from 2020. I think it's a nice way to end the year. A crowdfunder has been set up for a 12-year-old boy who had his DJ equipment confiscated after he organised a rave in the school toilets.
Fantastic.
What do you think that kid looks like?
You know that little kid who is that meme? He's in a green top and he's making a fist and he's gone.
Yeah, he looks like that. He looks like that, yeah.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah. He apparently was on the decks during lunchtime at his school in Manchester. And teachers stepped in. And he's only year eight. I mean, you hear a lot about this. So you know you get like professional celebrity entrepreneurs, right? Mm. Often, what's the story they'll always tell as a kid?
They're selling sweets in the school
playground. They always say that, right? That's like the go-to story, isn't it? I think this is like that, but it's just even better.
Yeah, that's how, you know, that's how Tiesto got started, doing a rave in the toilets.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing about this story, about this kid, he's got one of the older haircuts as well. Good on him. The best quote is from the GoFundMe page itself, which just says this: the aim is to get a more professional controller, a laptop, and some powered speakers. Party goers and DJs unite to support the next generation. I've been in touch with his mum, and she's happy about the fundraiser and very supportive. Amazing. Oh, they've raised 370 quid, mate.
What for his imprisonment?
I don't think he's in jail. Anyway, let's have a quick break, Peter. People can ruminate on that. Tell us what they did, maybe, in an entrepreneurial way at school. And after the break, we'll read some emails.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week on Stakhanov.
Over on the Luke and Pete Show, we've been discussing our usual nonsense, from Disney princesses to fizzy lagers and a whole load more. Here's a taster of what's been on the show.
For some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed. It. I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
No way!
It is.
It's too groovy. It's too groovy.
Yeah, it's just like now on BBC Two, sex and your child.
Meanwhile, over on WrestleMe, we've been doing the 12 days of WrestleMemus, which you can find on our Patreon or your favourite podcast player.
That's why also America is like leading the world in serial killers, you know, because they have room. They have room.
They have
to dismantle, to dismember,
dismantle,
to staff,
yes,
to make marionettes.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, very difficult to be a serial killer.
I would knock into things. I'd
you
get
would.
Blood everywhere.
But there's always some nosy beak, isn't there? Someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show, part two, ravers, whether in school or out of school. What I like about, I'm just checking out the picture of the little boy who is in the first half, who organised a little illegal rave. He's got a little microphone in there, So he's clearly sort of doing a little bit of MC. Yeah, doing a little bit of MCing in the middle. Fantastic stuff.
Listen, guys, this is an unlicensed rave. Please do not touch the hand lotion. Okay?
It's full of battery acid, you idiot. Yeah.
I completely forgot to say, Peter, that I rode a bike around central London at Christmas.
Oh, yeah, okay. Quiet, busy?
Mate, it was unreal. It's like 28 days later. People should check out my social media if they want to see some pictures and videos of it. Mimi and I went round on Boxing Day. As you mentioned, I completely forgot to pick up on it. I think you might have mentioned it on Monday when you said I was outside your old house. We must have ridden around central London for 2 hours and seen a handful of people in total. It was mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
At one point, so this is a little bit of a reference point that people who aren't that familiar with London will get. To put it in perspective, at one point, Mimi and I were the only people outside Buckingham Palace. How mad is that?
Well, it's not as mad as it has been this year, because obviously I was living in Soho and under lockdown, that was insane. Like all the shops were boarded up. The only shops that were open was the Tesco on Piccadilly. Everything else was completely empty. So I do kind of get where you're coming from, because it was absolutely bizarre how quiet it was at times. And going for a stroll around kind of Piccadilly, heading towards Buckingham Palace was just mad. I hope you had a good time, because it's rare that it's like that. It's rare that you get that to experience that. And it really was.
Yeah,
it really was. I'll sort of look back kind of almost fondly at the first lockdown, because it was a little bit strange that we just sort of rolled around town just doing, you know, you're just not seeing another person. Very weird.
It's really strange. And the internet, social media delivered again as well, because when I posted it up and said, look, isn't this mental? Which it is. Someone commented accusing me of glorifying in the closing of local businesses that will probably never survive. It's like,
cool.
I'm not doing that, am I? I'm not riding around.
It wouldn't be an open anyway. So.
Yeah, I'm not riding around going, ha, 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 look at the state of your businesses. I understand that that is a terrible thing. I think as a fellow adult human being, I understand that. All I'm saying is this is just a bit weird, isn't it? I was able to drive into London and park in a side street off Trafalgar Square. It's mad. Anyway. Emails, hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. Before I hand over to you, Pete, for an email, I want to round up some battery brands. Some people got in touch asking if any of the following brands were new players to enter the game. As ever on this show, we do ask for people to look for bizarre battery brands, because you always get them with purchase of new electronics. And sometimes you get them in the shops generally, I guess. But anyway, Merry Christmas to Maja Sundin. Listen, Maja, I'm sorry if I've pronounced that wrong. I know you're a big supporter of our shows, but I've never heard your name said out loud before, so I hope I've got that right. She's said that she was able to find some battery daddies.
Battery daddies.
What do you reckon to that?
Oh, you're such a big battery daddy, honestly.
Amazing. So that's definitely a new player. Joseph Eddington introduced Golden Power. Sorry, Joseph, that is not a new player. We've had those before. Mr. Meeps tweeted us with some Tianju Super Lord Devourers, which is definitely a new player.
Nice. Look, if you are going to use a Marisolade or a pair of walkie-talkies, you want a Devourer.
Definitely.
A Lord Devourer.
And finally, for now, Connor Randall with Ruido. That's not a new player. And Neil Richards has some Nai Li Wang, which I think is a new player. So a mixed bag there. Three new players out of five is very, very good. The endless quest for new off-brand batteries will never end. It is genuinely endless. We were always going to get, we're 3 years in or so now, 3.5 maybe, and we're still getting new battery brands that have never been seen before. So keep them coming in on Twitter at Luke and Pete Show. Sorry, Peter.
Sorry, yeah, new ones arriving every single day, but do get involved at lukeandpeteshow.com. No, Luke and Pete Show on Twitter.
Hello, it's basically, Peter, come on, we've been doing this for a while now. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com or at Luke and Pete Show.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but you didn't say Twitter, so I'm saying Twitter on Twitter, at Luke and Pete Show. There you go.
Go fuck yourself. What's next?
Go fuck yourself. Luke's favourite batteries are Duracells that he buys from Tesco's, because he hates independent businesses.
True. I don't like Tesco, by the way. If you said Sainsbury's or Waitrose, you'd be spot on there. I don't rate Tesco.
What's wrong with Tesco's? But you got two down at heel.
No, I just don't think the quality of the produce is very good.
Oh, okay. Fair dues. Kevin has got in touch. Hello, Kevin, from New York. Stay hungry, he ends the email with, but this is why he said it. KFC gaming console that keeps your chicken warm. Hey, gamers, Luke and Pete. I know you don't want to discuss video game-related stuff too much, but may I present to you the next step in the evolution of gaming, the Kentucky Fried Chicken KF console. KF console.
How's that supposed to be pronounced? Yeah. I don't really get it.
Yeah, yeah. It's gaming. See, I don't know whether this is a PR person writing in to talk about Cooler Master or KFC, but built by gaming hardware industry stable Cooler Master, the bargain bucket ship KFC console will reportedly be able to run games at 240 frames per second on a 4K resolution. That is a powerful PC. Furthermore, it boasts impressive ray tracing technology, blah, 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 blah. But the KFC console plays games, and also it recycles heat produced from its internal components to keep your chicken warm. You can put in the belly of the beast, you can slide the little drawer out, put your KFC in there, keep it nice and warm until you're ready to eat it and get grease all over your controller.
Yeah, I mean, oh, that's really nice. What's the glaze on that chicken? That's the thermal paste.
Thermal paste.
But Pete, you know, I talked on Monday about how at some point technology just overtakes you. Right. I'm sorry to say, I mean, am I missing something here, or is this exactly as it's been described? I don't actually understand this.
It's just a PC fashioned into a console-style case with a membrane/cavity inside it that uses the heat drawn through the thermal paste, through the cooling system from the processor, and circulates that heat instead of across fans or instead of across into a circulatory pump. It moves that warm air or that warm temperature across into the chamber that helps cool your it helps make your food hot or keeps.
But do you think people will buy it?
I think it's one of those concept things. It's like a concept car. Yeah, it's just to advertise the brand, so to speak. But it's a nice idea. I'm not against it.
It seems like pretty interesting, but I don't really see why you would. I mean, is it not just solving a problem that doesn't need to be solved?
Well, look, I mean, your processor is cracking on for like 80, 90 degrees in the middle of heavy gaming sessions. You could just toss that temperature into the air and make your room warm. Or you could divert it into a little chamber that's going to keep your popcorn chicken glistening.
Can I just ask you, as a serious gamer, what constitutes, in quotes, a heavy gaming session for you? What's the threshold?
When my I've got a bit of a problem with my graphics card, it gets really hot for some reason, which is very upsetting. Once that starts to be incredibly hot, I know I've gone too far. I've been playing a game called Teardown. Very, very recommended. If you've got a couple of days between now and when you start work, download Teardown. Have a lovely time. It's a bit like Minecraft. It's a bit like Minecraft, but you're tearing down houses. It's beautiful.
I've been playing Civilization 6.
Oh, did you manage to install it in the end?
Yeah.
Bang
it. I'm really enjoying it, although it runs my MacBook Air pretty fierce.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But it's fucking good. I remember playing Civilization 2, I think, back in the day. And it's pretty decent. I don't really want to. What I want to play is a strategy game that doesn't actually have an end, if you know what I mean. And this is a turn-based game which only lasts 500 turns. Now the game is pretty long. Each gaming session is pretty long.
Yeah.
But to me, the criticism I would make of it is that it's quite formulaic. And so what I'd like to play ideally is a classic Age of Empires type game which doesn't have an end, where you can kind of ebb and flow of like battles and conquests and stuff like that. But I mean, for now, this is pretty good. If anyone's got any recommendations out there for a proper endless strategy game which involves like war and domination, I know I sound like a horrendous human being saying this, then let me know. But it's got to be working on the Mac. I haven't got a PC.
But I think Civilization, you can have different kind of game modes that can be endless. It doesn't have to end because you've failed to enter the space race before, I don't know, the Russians or whatever.
Well, maybe I need to just need to investigate further then.
Just need to be better, mate. Just need to be better.
Yeah. I like being England because you get the best navy.
Okay, yeah, cool. I can't remember what I was. I was probably Japan, wasn't I? Knowing me, little.
But if you're Greek, you get all the cultural stuff. If you're, okay, yeah. I think if you're, One of them, you get really good land armies and battles, possibly Russia. And if you're England, you get a good navy. That's just more fun.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain on the last Civilization, there was a bug that turned Gandhi into a right rotter.
Well, no, there is, no, it's in this game. Gandhi's an absolute warmonger.
Yeah, yeah. He's always really, really violent in all the Civilization games, weirdly enough.
I remember, mate, when I first played it a week ago or something, my first contact with Gandhi was like, one way or another, you will meet my demands. So that doesn't sound like Gandhi. He's been kidnapped.
Yeah, I think in Civilization there's a thing where he would always be like 1 out of 10 in the aggression scale, but then something sort of goes wrong, like some sort. So I think when his country adopts democracy as a form of government, it makes leaders technically more peaceful. So the aggression rating was lowered by 2. So obviously he went to -1. Which created all kinds of like program error situations. So it meant that Gandhi became this nuclear menace constantly through the game.
It's interesting enough, changing the subject slightly, and obviously we need to get out of here in a minute, so this is probably not a conversation for now, but there was talk when I was last on my university campus of Gandhi having a statue removed.
Right, okay, yeah.
Problematic behaviours. Mm. So you know when everyone was going through that mode of, I mean, it's still kind of happening really. I see the statue of Robert E. Lee was moved into a museum, which is absolutely right and proper in my opinion. But when that was all bubbling under, it didn't really bubble under, did it? It fucking bubbled over. There was talk of it happening to Gandhi as well, because there's been some serious allegations made, shall we say. So it could be the least of his problems. Well, he hasn't got any problems, he's dead, but it should be the least of his problems, the civilization thing, if that's to be anything to go by.
Yeah, they've right across Africa, I think they've removed statues of Gandhi because he was quite problematic at times, and even for the times, quite regressive, you would say.
Pete, which of us, though, isn't problematic, particularly at Christmas?
Mate, I am just constantly off my head on Baileys, being a problem person, and I'm blaming the Baileys. I'm blaming who makes Baileys? Is it? Who would make such a thing as Baileys?
Probably Diageo by now, isn't it?
Probably Diageo, isn't it?
Peter, before we go, because I can hear your dogs barking in the background, before we go...
They need their Baileys. They want their afternoon Baileys.
Before we go, any big ambitions or plans for you for 2021? Message for the listeners out there?
I'm going to learn how to sharpen my samurai sword and go on a Hertfordshire-based riot. Samurai riot.
Chilling. Look out for that in 2021. Thank you for all your support throughout 2020. We know it's been a difficult year for everyone. We do really appreciate you listening. Keep it Luke and Pete Show. Leave us a review if you don't mind as well. Tell your friends if you like the show. If not, to do it for us, Peter, but to do it for producer Natalie, who is a really exceptional human being. So if you don't like us, do it for her, and we'll see you again next year.
Ta-ta. Don't do anything naughty at New Year's or go to an illegal rave in a school toilet.
If you do, don't touch the fucking hand lotion.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.